my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Just because I don't owe you the truth, again, doesn't mean
I'm going to lie. It just means I don't owe you the truth.
Exactly.
But that's lying by omission, though.
No, it's not.
Period. Welcome back to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch.
This one's season premiere.
This, even, is the only podcast where philosophy meets the real world. Today's guest is a final year law and sociology student who is more than deeply involved in the creative scene. She has served as a musical director, coordinating a choir and band. She is also a singer and songwriter, performing under the stage name MP3, whilst managing the upcoming artist Sibo. She is the co-owner of the lifestyle brand Empire, check it out on socials, guys, where she also works as a videographer. Finally, she has her sights set on making an impact, hoping to found her own charity to support neurodivergent Black children. Join us as we touch on the stuff you can't quite put your finger on, but won't stop thinking about. Please welcome Femi.
Hey guys.
Make sure you follow her on socials. We're going to put her socials in the description below. But yeah, honestly, it's about high time that we get into it. So the truth is, I'm not going to wait. Yeah, we're just going to get into the question. Are you excited?
Okay, I'm so excited. I need to know this question.
I'm so scared. I don't know what you're going to think. Okay, cool. I'm just going to get into it. For me, your question is, what do we owe each other, if anything, at all?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I'm even going to give you a minute to think about it.
That's so funny. Because I feel like everything we talk about, I'm always on the side of, it would be nice, but we don't have to do that.
Just explain that just a bit more. Like, what do we owe each other? What would you say?
Because, okay, cool. I don't want to ever say that we don't owe each other anything.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there are certain things that we have a duty.
Yeah.
Like,
we need to unpack that.
A social duty, yeah.
Yeah.
Of care, I don't know, but DE nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the same time, a lot of things that people perceive to be, you know, things that we should do for each other, they're mostly a courtesy as opposed to like something we owe each other.
It's a courtesy. So anything that you do for someone or anything that people would like describe as being an owing is just nice. And it's like, I don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. It's just nice. So the word that you used before, duty, related to, have you heard of Kantian ethics?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the overall concept of it?
Yeah, but could you remind me?
I can. Kantian ethics basically argues that you have a duty to other people in various senses. So is it a moral obligation to behave in a certain way towards other people? And what you're saying is that it's not a moral obligation. Hey, it's not a moral obligation, but it's nice to behave like that to other people.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. How would you define the question?
How would I define it?
Yeah.
I feel like I should be asking you.
No, but it's up to you. I want to work with your definition or how you perceive the question.
Okay, so can you repeat the question for me again?
What do we owe each other, if anything at all?
Okay. What do we owe? Obviously, first, I don't know, keyword would be owe.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, good question. Sorry. owe, to me, is like, you do me, I do you.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, okay, I owe you something.
Yeah.
As in, you've given me something. That means I have to pay you back.
Yeah.
I have problems with that word already.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Each other, obviously, I'm assuming society. However, again, each other does change depending on the context. Because it could be each other as a family, each other as friends, each other as strangers.
So as you touched on the next point,
yeah,
that's literally what I did. I did like an outline of what type of people exist.
Mm.
And it's like family in terms of your siblings, cousins, and like aunties.
Mm.
And if you like extended family, in the African heritage, when it comes to extended family, that's even a conversation for another day when they're calling you and asking you for money from back home, but that's something else. And then your parents, and then if you have children, do you owe anything to your children? Do you owe anything to your friends? And do you owe anything to strangers? Should we unpack them bit by bit, or do you have a general...
Yeah, let's unpack them bit by bit, because I think I have like definite opinions on these different categories. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's your opinion.
Yeah, because I've always been of the like for like if you know me, you know how I feel about social media. Like social media.
Yeah,
like, I've always said, because obviously that's how I think about strangers.
Yeah,
like that's the box that I put strangers in.
Okay.
In the sense of like, I never have subscribed, or maybe I have, but I don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, subscribe to the idea of, you know, putting certain things on social media just because it's a norm.
Yeah.
To you, because I think people have taken that norm so far to the point where they think it's a duty. Like, I have to post my relationship. I have to post this new thing that I got.
You don't owe that to anyone.
Just exactly. Because,
okay, I see.
And these are things that change in the context of people I know in real life.
Okay, so do you owe your parents updates on your relationship?
Of course not.
Oh, I thought you were going to say yes. So who do you owe an update on your relationship?
Because it doesn't have to be an update on my relationship.
Okay.
I'm just saying the people that need to know these things... The level on the priority list
of who needs to know.
Yeah.
So it's not about what you owe them, it's about what they need to know for their sake.
Yeah, no, and okay, cool. Need to know and owe, obviously we're going up and down the scale of the specific thing that we're talking about. So right now if we're talking about the context of relationships, for example.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So in the context of relationship, I don't think my parents need to know. However, if we're looking at the list of people I have like a duty or an owing to, my friends and my family are up there, whereas strangers are not on the list at all.
Okay, now that's an interesting thing, which is kind of related to something called relational ethics, which is like it's a brand of ethics that comes out of feminism, which basically says that your moral obligations are grounded in your relationship with other people. So your moral obligation to owe something to other people is grounded in the relationship you have to them. So I feel like with something like that, you probably owe something to your family, but not to strangers online. So is that the stuff that you're going with?
100%. I think that's the only way you can have a real grip on reality. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially in the age that we are in, where a lot of our lives exist digitally. So yeah, like even if we're talking about African, you know, family, extended family, like a lot of people that we interact with that we deem as close could literally be on the other side of the world. Like the only way you have access to them is through your phone. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I think even that makes you lose a sense of reality. Which is why all of us kids, when we see our parents giving money to these people that we've never met in our lives, it's kind of like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? Like,
you don't owe them anything.
Exactly.
But do you know what's interesting? I feel like, because whenever I ask my parents that, like, send me the money if you don't want it that much. Like, literally send it to me.
Literally.
It's like they act as if it's a moral obligation because that's their bloodline. And it's like, do you even live with them when you're back home? Do you even know them? No, they just know that you live in the UK. Therefore, automatically you have money. So it's like this mindset is different to that generation.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just trying to unpack, like, not why, but
it's
what.
Because we've grown up with the idea or the concept of because somebody's far away, we're not close to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I said, the digital era means that everyone that I don't have access to like this is technically a stranger.
Yeah.
Do you get? Whereas they...
But wouldn't you say it's the other way around? Because of the digital era, people who you wouldn't normally have direct access to, you have access to them now. So you're closer to them.
I hear it.
Yeah.
But the reason why I would say, like, in the grand scheme of things, because obviously, cool, we can all have our pen pals and our social media buddies. Like, even me, I met my best friends through social media.
Yeah.
Right? So, I get that. But I'm talking about, like, if we look at these platforms holistically, mm-hmm. we don't say, oh, yeah, this is where I go to find people that I know, as opposed to going to link up with your friends mm-hmm. or going to, you know, text, like, your family group chat.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear that. Sorry, where my mind is going is you don't ever really go somewhere with the intention to necessarily find people that you know, even though you do. But what I'm trying to say is that in order to find people that you know, you need to not know them first at some point. Do you know what I mean? Do you see, am I making sense? I'll just speak for this.
Everywhere has strangers, though.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, yeah, not everywhere is, like, categorically full of strangers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're so right. It's just like
if we were to go to the motive right now, you're going to see someone that you know.
Exactly. Or okay. You will be with somebody that you know.
Okay.
When you're on social media, you're literally isolated. In and of yourself. You're not in a... You don't have a group account.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You are...
Maybe you should just tell, like, Instagram, someone, the idea. Maybe we should start group accounts. But anyway,
have a joint group account. You know. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like... That's like an isolated experience where you're always going to enter a foreign space,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And so we've tied that to the fact that people that are only reachable through digital, mm-hmm. they're strangers. Whereas our parents, yeah, they don't see it like that. In a sense where somebody can only be reachable through digital. Mm-hmm. However, if I know where you're from, or if I know that you're the somebody of somebody,
yeah,
then that means that I know you.
I'm so glad you said that.
Mm.
Because, I don't know, that was one of the next things that I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out... Okay, we're going to get to that. No, do you know what? Yeah, let's get to it now. Basically, what I'm saying is, in my head, there are three ways of owing.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go through the three ways of owing, and then you're going to... Like, we can unpack them individually, and the last one next to what you're saying right now. Mm-hmm. Cool. So, the first one is proximity, in that I owe you something if you are close to me, spatially or in terms of how much I care for you,
okay.
which is what we were talking about in the beginning. Try and remember, I know it's hard. And then the second one is transactional. And I feel like this is what a lot of people think.
You do me,
which
do
is,
you.
Yeah, I only owe you something insofar as you have done something for me mm-hmm. or you will do something for me mm-hmm. as a result of what I owe you. And then the last one is reflective. What I owe myself is what I owe other people.
Interesting.
Juicy.
Interesting. Okay, which one do you want us to talk about first?
Like, whichever one you choose is. I feel like the one that you linked to right now was, like, the community one in terms of the last one, what I owe myself is what I owe you because you're in my community. And that even can extend to, like, for example, the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Do you owe black business owners your money because they're in your community?
Mm.
Do you see?
It's a courtesy.
It's a courtesy, so you don't owe them nothing.
No.
And that's the thing, I feel like a lot of people come on, even with families, not just the black community, it was just an example,
mm-hmm.
Like, they come on a thing of, oh, because I look like you, because we've gone through the same things, you owe me, like, your time, you owe me your money, you owe me any sort of relationship.
Yeah.
If you start thinking about all the different intersectionalities, like, I don't know an example now, I know sex, race, you know, all the different intersectionalities. Yeah. If you see people in the same intersection as you, do you owe them anything because you've had the same experiences? You should treat them how you would want to be treated, right?
I don't know if I believe in that golden rule.
Just like, you're hitting all the nails on the head.
Thank you.
Sorry, as you were.
I read book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't believe in that golden rule. Like, mm-hmm. I've not always, but recently I've developed
the. Set up.
I've developed that. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Understanding mm-hmm. that. As a good person, because all of these are about being a good person.
Yeah, we even need to unpack that.
Yeah, but okay, as a good person, right? Yeah. Obviously you say, okay, treat others how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
I think that's a very selfish approach. Because it centers you.
Flipped the script.
It centers you in a conversation about another person.
Okay.
Do you get?
So you focus on yourself when it's actually about the other person.
So you should actually, if you care enough to the point where you want to, you know, treat this person well, surely you should be wanting to treat them how they want to be treated. And this is why it's a courtesy. Because some people, the way they want to be treated is a bit difficult.
Might not align with what you're capable of treating them as.
Exactly.
And that even extends into, like, friendships, relationships. That's probably why people break up. because I'm not able to treat you how you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And it's not about how I want to be treated.
Exactly.
So the golden rule is like...
it's kind of selfish. It's kind of self-centered. Down.
Yeah. Like, and it's funny because it's been presented as this thing, like, this is the most selfless way to act. This is the most selfless way to treat people.
Exactly.
This is the rule that comes up in every religion. This is the rule that comes up in every form mm-hmm. of ethics, which is treat other people how you would want to be treated. And it's just like...
sometimes you need to speak to humans in the language of humans for them to do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
In the sense where, obviously, these are, like I said, like, you know, peak religious rules. And,
yeah.
and like, obviously, like, Jesus... for example, is, you know, the supreme being,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, there is no self because he is like us, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. However, he still needs to tell us how to behave mm-hmm. in a way that we can understand it.
Yeah.
And if you look at human nature, we are innately selfish, you know? So,
pause. Are human beings innately selfish?
Yeah.
Do you actually believe that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not judging you. I don't know what my stance is on
we
that.
All have our interests at the front.
That's probably why the golden rule even existed in the first place.
Exactly, that's my point. So it's just like because that's how we as humans are, that's the only way we're able to understand and then practice.
It's making me think of the social contract.
Okay.
You know, like
I like Hobbes, that
Rousseau type beat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in the state of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Will this is a question in and of itself, so we're literally going to spend like 2 minutes here, but it's like, would human beings be able to function without an authority telling them what the right thing is to do, because human beings are going to be so selfish that they're just going to destroy each other? Is that what's going to happen, and why? At your core as a human being, do you feel like if you were left to your own devices, you would just do whatever benefits you entirely?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Because
I was saying, I was like, wait, yeah.
Because what else would I do?
Do you know what it is? The way that I think about it and the way that it has been presented in like Hobbes, it's like, it's one derelict abomination. You're now everybody fighting fire, war.
Just chaos.
But doing something for yourself doesn't always have to look like that.
Mm-hmm,
doing something for yourself can literally be like, I don't know. I can't go out with you today. I am tired, so I'm going to bed mm-hmm. and I'm not going to go out with you.
But I think what's like problematic about it with what, you know, in alignment with what they're saying and, you know, the whole chaotic aspect
mm-hmm.
is the extremes that an individual can take it to.
Exactly. But I feel like that's what people are thinking about whenever they think of human nature, that everybody's going to take it to the extreme.
Yeah. No, I don't believe that. I think to say that humans are selfish,
mm-hmm.
The base of that phrase is literally just that we have our best interests.
At heart.
Not even at heart, just at the front of our heart.
At the front of our heart.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's like, to say like at the front of my heart, because I think at heart, there's a lot of stuff that I want to do. Because at heart, I want to put other people first as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like at heart, I want to consider others.
Mm-hmm.
I want to care for others.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things exist at heart.
Yeah.
At the front of my heart, is what's best for me.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's like it's almost like a defensive layer.
Yeah, because like at the end of the day, human beings are animals. And it's all about self-preservation. So do you know what? I think it's the negative connotation
mm-hmm.
of what selfish is.
Mm.
Selfish can be good. I was having this conversation with my good and clean the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be selfish in some situations and in some instances. Sometimes put you first. Sometimes it's about you. Sometimes, because at the end of the day, you came into this life by yourself and you'll be leaving it alone.
All times.
And it's just like,
I believe.
Don't allow people to make you feel as though putting yourself first is a bad thing.
Yeah.
It is selfish. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. And here's what it is, right? Like, because sometimes I have like issues with certain like theologies or certain, let me not say theologies, let me say certain like
beliefs,
teachings,
practice, oh okay.
Yeah,
teachings.
Practices, ideologies, whatever. Like certain ones, they say do X thing for X person because that's putting them first,
e.g.
and not you.
Let me
roll with this one.
Yeah, I'll let you go. Right? Let you go.
So put it, do X thing for X person because that's caring for them over yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? If you do this, you'll go heaven. Is that really putting them first?
Okay.
Or is my motive to do for me
wow.
through you?
Wow.
Do you get? Which is why I have certain just contentions.
Please say,
because you know they say my vocabulary sometimes.
Your vocabulary can sometimes be up there. You do
sometimes,
well.
Sometimes. Because sometimes I hear certain things or I hear certain teachings and it's rooted in, if you want to go to heaven, you'll do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're telling you to be the most selfless person in the world.
And even and it's just that, like, is pretentious in and of itself. That's my truth. Mm-hmm, let me finish. Say what you were saying.
Yeah. I think pretentious is a really good word because it's like, it's a bit cheeky.
Yeah, you know,
Yeah,
I know exactly what you mean because it's like you don't care. Traditionally, you don't care, but there's one thing that you care about, and that's the end result. You know, Kant.
Mm-hmm.
He was basic. That's what.
Yeah.
I'm gonna breathe and say the sentence.
Okay.
You know when I was talking about how Kant says you have a duty to other people.
Yeah.
For him, you have a duty to treat other people as a means of themselves. As opposed to as a means to an end.
And
with what you were saying, you're treating people as a means to an end. So therefore, to Kant, you're not being ethical. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when I understand your contention with the teachings, but I feel like for me, my contention is not with the teaching, it's with people, how it manifests, how people take it and how they act out upon it. Because the teaching in and of itself is fine, in that you have to treat people in a certain, wait for me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to treat people in a certain way, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it has to become a habit, not something that you do intentionally every single time. Once it becomes a habit, you're not thinking about it anymore. Once it becomes a habit, this is just who you are. This is your nature. This is your characteristic. This is your personality.
Mm-hmm.
You are just selfless. You are just giving. You are just loving. You are just kind.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how you act because you practiced it and you cultivated that teaching. But I think the way people manifest it is this is the teaching. And because you don't, that's not in your heart. Like you, that's not you. You don't care enough.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time you do it, you're thinking, oh yeah, this is the teaching. I have to do it so I can go to heaven. And it's just like, it shows.
Okay, cool. So here's where we will differ.
Okay,
because let's go. I will say that, because maybe it's because I'm technically a teacher, right? So as a teacher, there's certain DE to the people you're teaching, right? To make sure that whatever you're teaching is not dangerous.
For me, I don't think we're going to differ.
Okay, cool. Let me
I
learn.
I feel like you're about to eat this one.
Let me learn. As a teacher,
mm-hmm.
you need to be very clear with how you are speaking to your students.
You also need to lead by example.
Exactly. And it's just like, when you're aware of the way, because I don't think any teacher that teaches these kinds of teachings is unaware of the way it can be manifested negatively.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, I hear that.
So if I, as like, say for example, I'm like a Sunday school teacher or I'm a preacher and it's my service, and I'm telling others, oh, do this, treat people like this so that you can go to heaven.
Yeah.
I'm very aware that there's people in the congregation that will hear that and say, okay, cool. I'm just going to start doing this so that I can go to heaven.
That's it.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just going to start making this a teaching that I follow type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a teacher, need to be able to mitigate that firsthand
quickly.
And say, not like this.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen to me. Like, I think the differences that you was saying earlier was the difference between something being a teaching and something being a belief.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You need to believe in yourself that you need to become this person.
Exactly.
Regardless of the outcome.
Exactly.
Do you get what I mean? And that little, niche.
Yeah.
Is something that is in the hand of the teacher to make the people aware. Because some people aren't aware of the fact that this is how they're taking in the information. They think they're doing everything correct.
I hear that.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know my only thing? I'm going to go a bit like platonic here in a sense of, but you have reason. Like common sense. I know they say common sense is not common, but really, really common. Like, is it that difficult to just know that?
Do you know what it is?
Just know though.
Everybody does have this.
So can we begin to cultivate and use it?
I think this might be like a complex of people that are thinkers. Because you and I are thinkers.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like I need to stop projecting my brain onto other people.
Yeah, you do. Because a lot of people aren't thinkers like that type thing. Obviously, we all think, we all have reason, we have common sense.
But it's about dwelling on it and interrogating your thought and interrogating your beliefs.
Exactly. So do you know... There's all of the people that are doing these things incorrectly,
Yeah.
They probably don't sit back, reflect and think, what's the true core? Like, what's the reason why I'm doing this?
Yeah.
They don't go that far. Do you know what I mean? Like, not a lot of people reflect on their behaviour as long as they think that they're doing the right thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And like, as long as someone said that they're doing the right thing and what they're doing sounds around about right. Yeah.
But
that's laziness.
No.
Okay.
Don't say that.
Sorry.
They don't have that. Do you get that's what I'm saying? It's the duty of the teacher. Like, you guys heard me when I was talking to you, my friend.
Yeah.
About choir.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously I'm teaching, he's teaching. And I was like, okay, cool. Because he was basically telling me that, the way he arranges, right, obviously, there's certain things with his voice that he can't do because he's a boy.
Yeah.
Right? And first, like, boys... Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was saying... So he was saying that when he goes to the rehearsal, like, every time, he just lets them know that, okay, cool, guys, this is what mine sounds like, but I want you to do it like this. In your own,
okay.
In your own register. I'm trying not to use the terms.
You can use the terms.
Yeah, like, so obviously, he's asking them to do it in their octave.
Yeah.
Although he's doing it in the low octave.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And he just, obviously, like, is hoping for them to understand.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, like, you can't, as a teacher, it, like, what you're saying is reasonable. There's no fault with it. But as a teacher, you have a duty to your students to give them the fullest, like, the most expansive example.
Yeah.
And then tell them to go ahead. Yeah. See what I mean? So us as, like, these commentators or us as these thinkers or these people that express our opinion and we want people to do things, like, at the same time, we need to bear in mind that they just might not have that. They might not know. Because that's what I was telling him. That some people might not even know what an octave is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
So, like, and there's no fault of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fault somebody based on the fact that you know more than them.
That's so real.
You know?
Yeah. I just, yeah.
Because a lot of people's ignorance is not...
by choice.
Yeah. It's not even, like, a...
intentional.
Like, it's not aggressive. Like,
it's quite passive.
Exactly. Some people are literally just...
like, you just don't know. Like,
you know,
you just don't know.
And I just take the assumption that everybody that's coming for me to teach them, they are aware of the fact that they don't know and they want to know.
Yeah.
You know? So everybody that's in front of you listening to you wants to know what you know and what they don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not in this space, it's not for me to gatekeep what I know and, you know, dwell in the fact that you don't know. How could you not know?
Yeah.
It's me to say, okay, cool, you guys are here because you want to know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you everything.
You took me on a journey, and I how we got there, I'm not sure, but I feel like
I love a good analogy.
I think that's what it was. So, like, bringing it together, in fact, helped. But very quickly, there's one other thing that I wanted to there's another thing that I wanted to touch on, which is in terms of, you know, we're saying, do we owe each other anything? I think we haven't unpacked what the anything is. I have three that people usually reserve as, this is what you owe me, or this is what you owe to that person. So the first is, do you owe people the truth?
No.
So lying is, like, by omission as well, it's just fine.
They're not binaries, though.
Okay. You always say this, but, like, go on.
Yeah, because I don't owe you the truth, again, doesn't mean
I'm going to lie. It just means I don't owe you the truth.
Exactly.
But that's lying by omission, though.
No, it's not. Because I haven't done the action. The talk of whether I owe something has nothing to do with what I'm doing. Do you get what I mean?
No, you're going to have to unpack that one.
It's like the conversation around it. It's a conversation around the action.
That's lying by omission.
No, I'm saying, okay, cool. When we discuss, do I owe you the truth?
Yeah.
That's before the truth. That's before the thing I say.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because all of that is preemptive.
Can we enter a sentence? Like, can we enter a truth into this so that you can use that as an example?
Okay, cool.
Did you go to the shops this morning?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And you went to the shop this morning?
Okay. So I went to the shop this morning.
Yeah.
You asked me, did you go to the shop this morning for me? Yeah. If I say, yes, I went to the shops this morning.
That's you telling me the truth.
Does the question now come after?
What do you mean?
Do I owe you the truth? The question comes before what I say.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So the question in itself is preemptive, which means it is the conversation around that. What I'm saying, yeah, mm-hmm. the question and mm-hmm. the answer to the question have nothing to do with my answer.
I'm struggling to see where
not making sense. Is. Okay. Cool. Let me see if I can break this down a bit better.
Yeah.
Cool. What I'm saying, yeah, is that that question, whether my answer is yes or no, I could still choose to tell you the truth.
Yes.
I could still choose to lie.
Yes.
I could still choose to say nothing. I could choose to walk off. The question still is answered.
It's answered.
Okay, cool.
If you walk off, have you answered the question?
No, the question of do I owe you the truth? It's a concept. It's not an action.
And it's like
it's objective. A concept separate from the action. Yes,
it's an objective one. Yes. Okay, yeah. So, what's the answer? That's what I'm asking.
So the answer can be yes.
Yeah.
I can still lie to you.
That's fine. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Do you?
That's what I'm saying. Like, my point is there that it has nothing to do with my answer. That's what I'm saying. Like the conversation is just a conversation.
Oh yeah.
I can still act differently.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. But that's where the morality comes into it. If you begin to do what is contrary to what the answer to the objective question is, now that's when we begin to question your morality and things of that nature. That's what I'm saying.
I see.
So I think let's answer the question first. Do you owe people the truth? You said no. That's what you said initially.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So according to you, that just basically means that if you don't tell the truth, then that's not wrong.
Yes. Exactly. That's my point. Took way too long to get there, but... Sorry.
Okay.
So, the reason why I'm saying everything that I just said... is because... okay. The reason why I'm saying everything I just said, is because I don't owe you the truth. However, there are certain people that I feel I should tell the truth to.
So, it's a courtesy, as you say.
Exactly. Because my mom,
you don't owe no one nothing, basically.
Nah, because as an individual,
when I do give something to you, it's intentional. You deserve it.
Yeah,
it's just that I like feel like why not? This is what you get from me simply because that's how I feel towards you.
Yeah,
I disagree.
Okay, go ahead.
And the reason why is because we're social beings, and I feel like I've said this to you before. Because we're social beings, there are some things just for the sake of to keep the peace, let's act in line with this, which is to tell people the truth. Because if we just went around doing whatever we so chooses and like lying to some people, telling our favorite people the truth, like it's just a calamity. Let's be nice in the world. Let's be nice to the people in the world, because we are a society, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that I struggled to get in the beginning, because what you're saying is so me. And I said this before. What you're saying is so me. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Like, it's like you don't deserve nothing from me, not one thing. I don't owe anyone anything because I am me in and of myself. But recently I've realized that I am me in and of myself, but I exist in the context. Who said that? Kamala Harris. Sponsorized. Anyway, you know, you didn't just... What's it about for her? You didn't fall out of...
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of everything that came before you.
Wow.
Okay.
You exist in the context, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
You exist outside of your favorite people. You exist outside of your friendships. You exist outside of your family. So it's like, in order to allow this society to be as cohesive as we want it to, because let's be real, we want society to work. Mm-hmm. We want to exist in a place where we can feel safe and not like we're in the state of nature where somebody's gonna off our head in the next 2 seconds, whether we like it or not. So in order for that to happen, things like truth, we have to accept that we owe that to people. But it is up to you whether you choose to give it to them or not. And that now makes me think, is that not just the same thing as what you're saying without the objectivity?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, but that's my heart.
Because it can't be objective. Because I can't apply this to everyone. Because we don't do it already.
I know, but it's about the fact that you should.
Why?
You ought to.
Why?
For the sake of the peace.
What peace?
The societal peace.
Who's the peace society? Of
the world. The society that you exist in. The context that
you're in. Look at what...
Let's not act like we have...
Let me tell you what's at the front of my heart.
What's at the front of your heart? You know what's at
the front of my heart is myself. Eden. Okay, cool. Let me tell you something, yeah? If we were to say, I owe everyone the truth, therefore I must tell the truth. Right?
You ought to. Yeah.
I ought to tell the truth. Yeah. It's different to I must. So we need to distinguish that one. Because ought is like, you should. It's up to you, though.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not. Ought is prescriptive. But it's not as strong as must. Excuse me.
It's not, then.
So what is it?
Ought is not imperative.
Yes, is you should.
But you have the choice.
Yes. Okay. Ought is you should do something, but you have the choice.
You're now tuned into the Things You Can't Touch podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And remember, this is a philosophy podcast.
I think I realized that I was wrong when I said that an ought is an obligation.
Yeah.
An ought is like you ought to do it,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to. But I feel like the only reason why I'm confused is why does Kant use it in that sense? Because Kant is very much deontological in that he is very objective. So if this is your duty, that's what you like must do in order to be a good person. So why does he use the word ought if it's not prescriptive?
I think it's because it's not a rule. Here's the distinguishment.
The truth is that it is distinction.
Okay, cool. Here's the distinction I came to.
Okay.
A duty is something that you should do in alignment with a role. Whereas, like, a rule is something you follow.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you follow a rule,
mm-hmm.
it's not a matter of ought or don't want.
You just have to
follow a rule. It's your expectation that you have to meet.
Okay.
Right? But a duty is still your choice to do it. Which is why, remember when I was talking about whether it's before or after the action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So before the action of telling mm-hmm. the truth
yeah.
is essentially a discussion of my duty.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And because I personally don't think those kind of interactions, there's necessarily a role that I have to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's where there's a bit of a leeway. Here's my point. Remember when I was talking about me as a teacher or yes. other people as teachers?
Yes.
They have a duty to their students.
Yes.
I think what brings about their duty is the fact that they have a role as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So these roles are what the objectifies.
Your duty comes with what your role is.
Exactly.
But can one therefore argue that your duty as a human being, your role is being a human?
Yeah.
Is that you owe people things. That's part of your duty as because your role of humanity.
The reason why is because it changes.
Your role?
With other people. The people who I'm being a human to change.
Yeah, but isn't everyone still a human regardless?
No, I know. But like I'm saying, like, cool, if I'm a teacher
mm-hmm.
and I have 30 students,
mm-hmm.
I have 30 students.
Yeah.
They are all my students. They might have learning disabilities. They might X, Y, Z
mm-hmm.
students.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, as a human, the categories that you can be can determine the way I treat you, can determine the way at which I view my role to you.
Okay, affairs.
So like we mentioned at the beginning, there's family, there's friends, relationships,
children,
strangers,
parents.
Exactly.
The way that you act towards your friend is not the same way that you will treat your parents.
So as a human, a human
mm-hmm.
is not enough of a role
yeah.
for it to be an objectifier
mm.
in this conversation. I don't know if objectifier is a word.
I feel like I know what you mean.
The thing that makes it the conversation objective.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I feel like I know what you mean. Cool. But that was us just talking about truth.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff that came up, which I don't want to spend too much time on because there's another section that I want to go to, is do you owe people an explanation? Because I think this even feeds into what we were talking about the other time, where
mm-hmm.
you don't need to explain yourself when you're posting a TikTok. You don't mm-hmm. need to explain yourself. You just need to say what you want to say.
Yeah.
And then I think it also comes in conversations where people are like, oh, I need closure.
Mm-hmm.
That's you basically saying that you need or you deserve an explanation, but does anyone owe that to you?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think it's dependent on the intention.
Okay.
Of the person that's speaking
mm-hmm.
and the person that's receiving the words. I don't know.
No, I get it.
Yeah, like, it's definitely dependent on the intention. If you are speaking to people
mm.
and you want them to understand exactly what you mean
mm-hmm.
or you don't want them to take offense mm. or you don't want your words to be, you know?
Yeah.
Then you have the intention that everything you say is clear and understood, right? Therefore,
would you have the duty?
You have that duty.
Okay.
Yes.
I should have let you land.
Mm-hmm.
You have the, okay, because your intention is to, wait, so you're saying your intention is to be clear.
Yeah.
Therefore, you have a duty to be clear.
Yeah, your intention
I feel like I don't really agree with that. Can I say why?
Go ahead.
Because I think it's not that you have an intention to be clear. It's about what you're doing. So if you're on TikTok making a video, I think whether you have the intention or not, mm-hmm. you have a duty to be as clear as you can for the sake of, so that people can't misconstrue what you're saying.
Sorry, I think the clarity mm-hmm. In all of this is like the byproduct of the intention.
Your intention is to make an informative TikTok video.
Exactly.
And as a byproduct,
you should be clear.
You have a duty.
Yes.
To be clear.
Yes.
Okay.
Because if you are, your intention is to make an informative TikTok,
mm-hmm.
I, as the consumer of this TikTok,
mm-hmm.
do you not think you've done that at all?
Yeah.
I comment, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
You can't be upset.
Because you didn't fulfill your duty.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. That's good. Cool. I'm glad we got past that one. That's explanation. And the final thing,
mm-hmm.
very quickly, is I'm doing a module right now called Democracy. And one of the guys, Cristiano, his surname is Cristiano, I don't know his first name, mm-hmm. he argues that human beings need to have democracy because we owe each other justice.
Okay.
So do we owe justice to other people? And I feel like the law in you is about to like come out. Do we owe other people? Yeah, as I said, a sense of justice.
A sense of justice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is something that's interpersonal like this.
English.
I think if we were to talk about democracy, law, justice,
mm-hmm.
we're looking at the hierarchy of powers.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously in society, social cohesion,
mm-hmm.
We're grouped into nations, we're grouped into states. Whether mm-hmm. those two are the same thing, it's up for you guys to decide. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, we're talking about, you know,
yeah.
hierarchy of powers.
Yeah.
Right? So democracy as an example,
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, devised by the state,
mm-hmm.
you know, to enforce some sort of justice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't truly meet the crux of justice.
Yeah. But I guess that really depends on what you think justice is, and that is a conversation genuinely for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll leave you
on yeah. that. Yeah. Just because like I think certain states don't have democracy.
Yeah.
However, they still have
a justice system. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to say that, I'm not entirely sure what I think
mm-hmm.
about it. I think that's up
whether we owe each other justice.
Yeah, because I personally think the degree of justice varies between the hierarchy of power. However much justice I can give to you,
yeah,
is not the same as however much justice the criminal justice system.
I don't think it's about what you can give. I think it's more about what you accept for the person. Think about it more conceptually as opposed to practically. Don't think about it being enforced. Think about it as I exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
For me, do I owe you like
fairness?
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's just how I treat you, just here. Justice, because sometimes it can be...
Like, you did me justice type thing.
Yeah.
Like, you treated me how I was worth.
That depends on your definition of justice.
That's the question.
Yeah.
What justice are we referring to? Because obviously I was taking it practically.
Yeah. I feel like I was referring to the practical justice, but then I wanted to make it theoretical. It didn't bang again.
There is theory in practical justice, you know? Because remember, we discussed it before. When I was talking to you guys about my transitional justice, right?
That was long.
Uh-huh.
As I said, the time is twinkling.
Yeah.
So, we're going to enter the game segment of this episode. And it's just like, it's because of philosophy, it's not really playing a game.
Yeah.
This game is a thought experiment. So I'm going to tell the people, disclaimer, this is a thought experiment. So everything is purely hypothetical. In this situation, we're just talking about what could possibly happen. What could the possible options be? We're not saying this is what you should do or this is how, like, for me or I would respond. Okay? Before they want to come and drag the people.
So I'll give you advice. I didn't advise you.
Thank you. Now, Peter Singer.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
No.
Okay. Peter Singer wrote like a paper called Famine, Affluence,
I have heard of
and
him.
Morality.
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've heard of him, yes.
Okay, him, the concept.
Yes.
And this is the thought experiment. It's called the thought experiment of a drowning child.
Okay.
It follows.
Mm-hmm.
On your way to work, You pass a pond in which a child is drowning. It is very easy for you to wade in and save the child, but you would ruin your brand new shoes and your outfit. Mm. By the time you hand the child over to their carer, you would be very late for work. Mm. What do you do? Do you owe that child anything?
I don't owe the child anything.
Wow.
But I would do it.
Okay. But why would you do it? Don't you feel a sense of duty to save that child?
I don't know why I would do it. I don't think, because in my head, if I was to do that, it's almost like a reflex. It's not, oh, there's a child. I have a duty to that child to save that child. I need to save that person's life.
Okay.
You know, it's just, to me, it's danger.
Save child.
Yeah. Like,
especially if I know I have the capacity to do so.
Exactly.
Okay.
So again, like, I think the that little aspect of duty kind of makes it too much on
Peter Singer.
It makes it a bit not right. Like, it makes it not right. Selfish.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because then I'm centering myself
onto why you need to save the child, because you need to fulfill your duty. So therefore, you need to save the child. I see. So for you, it's more of a. Do you think it's because you were socialized that way?
No.
Or you were born and inherently that is just your reflex?
Yeah. Because I don't think anything about the way I've been socialized has led to me being like this. Because I think a lot of me being like this, a lot of me understanding the way I react to things is me learning myself.
What isn't that?
Outside of what I have been taught or outside of what the normal is.
Let me know if I'm wrong, but my interpretation of socialization is your existence in the world and as a response of the way other people act, and the way that other people react, you form your character, your personality, and by extension, your responses to specific situations. So when you say that it's about you looking in yourself, the reason why you had to look in yourself is because of society, no?
Yeah, but then if I'm finding that myself is different to what the norm is, the myself is a subversion of socialization.
Okay, so I think my comprehension of socialization is wrong. Is socialization what society teaches you? Because for me, it's like you're still being socialized, no? Because of the way that they responded to you change.
With your like thought process of socialization, it means that socialization is ubiquitous, it is absolutely unavoidable. Yeah, it's literally, it makes
is
it.
Is that what it is?
No, because you have.
I'm not a sociology student.
It, like, okay, cool. People really can argue that it is, but I think your argument makes it a bit formless.
It's too.
Yeah, it doesn't have a start.
Includes everything.
Exactly. It just means it's anything.
But that's why for me, I feel like everything is a product of socialization, because that's how I interpreted and understood it. But
we could go there because really and truly, even the fact that you can think is a product of socialization or the language that you even think in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, everything, obviously, to a degree, has you know, has been impacted by that, but. Yeah, I think the way I behave and the certain reactions to things, I know that me being aware of them is me being aware of the fact that my personality subverts the norm, which is, I have a duty to that person.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't have any problem with
that. That's how I'm losing myself. I need to remember why we're here. We're talking about why you would save the child.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's not out of a sense of duty.
Yeah, not
but
for
your
me.
Shoes. Like, these are your new shoes. Like, I know you like your shoes.
Oh, I love my shoes.
These are your new, like, your new. What's the newest shoe that you've got?
Oh, I don't have actually. I don't even have a new
shoe. What are your favorite shoes right now?
Jordan 3s.
So, these are your Jordan 3s. You got a new pair of Jordan 3s.
Yeah.
Just yesterday. Those are the ones you chose to water work. You even did a new outfit.
Yeah.
And you'll wade into the muddy water, your shoes will be ruined, absolutely destroyed, and you will go and save that child.
Even if the only thing that would stop me from doing something like that was if I was going, like, if I was putting my life in danger.
Okay.
If I was going
to
die.
Yeah. But to be honest, that's now what utilitarianism, that's, we're now going into the zone of, like, quality, quantity, whose life over whose life and stuff like that, which is not really the discussion today. It's more about if you have nothing to lose, why are you, like, yeah, why are you doing something for other people? And you're going to say, yeah, it's because I have nothing to lose. But you have something to lose. It's just about the extent to which you're going to lose it.
I care about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you want to say something?
No, because okay. I think that's it. Like, to me, the extent to which something matters to me
mm-hmm.
will determine my actions.
Okay.
It's never duty. Because of another person.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But isn't that, because before you said duty is selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't thinking about the extent to which it matters to you also selfish?
Yeah.
So
but I think it's selfish
on differently.
Like the first thing
yeah.
like is clearly
duty. Duty.
No, no, no. Me what thinking about what matters to me.
Yeah. But that's yeah. what you said.
Yes, I'm saying like that being at the front of my heart,
yeah.
I think that's like is a given. It's whereas fair. Duty is underlaying.
And that's the problem that you have with it.
To me, it doesn't seem
authentic.
Yeah.
Like you're presenting as something that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And when you dig deeper, the truth is that you're
yeah, because
not what you're
at the crux of the conversation,
yeah.
I don't think anyone owes anything to anyone unless I have a role. If I was a lifeguard,
yeah,
I owe it to you.
Okay, you can still do it, but you don't owe it. But it's good to, are you arguing that it's good to do it?
Yeah, of course, because I want to be a good person. You know, that's what means the most to me. That's what
but what categorizes the good?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. That's why the likes of Peter Singer and Immanuel Kant are going to mm-hmm. say it's duty, because it categorizes the good. It can't just be, oh, that's just how I was feeling today. Or maybe it can. Maybe it can just be that's how you're feeling. And maybe
because I don't think I ever do good things with, oh, I want to be a good civilian.
But
in my head, that's what they tell you you want to do.
Yeah.
Right? Because all of these systems in place, they are, you know, done to shape the thoughts of society, you know, with the aim of social cohesion, to stop chaos.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a brilliant morphology. I mean, brilliant method.
Methodology.
Good
methodology.
Method.
Methodology.
Yes. Yes.
Methodology. Great. Okay. Yeah.
I understand. Mm-hmm. The powers that be ought to do that, right?
Okay.
However, me as an individual, I'm aware of it, and I don't think I do that ever. I never think, oh, I need to be a good civilian today.
Yeah.
I don't even think I need to be a good person today. I think, what do I do?
Yeah.
How do I react to things?
Mm-hmm.
And the way I react to things is about what matters to me the most in that moment. Do you know what I mean? I am also quite like a utilitarian thinker as well. Like in the sense where I try to see what reaction brings the best outcome for the most, you know, things.
Perfect description of utilitarianism for the people at home.
Mm-hmm.
In case they don't know.
In case you guys don't know.
Now you know, innit?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the things you can't touch didn't teach you. Anyway, cool. I think I just want to bring in the context of Peter Singer and why he said this. I think he was talking about there was a famine happening in Bangladesh.
Mm.
And he's basically saying the same way that you have a duty, according to him, to save that child, people who are well off have a duty to help people who are not as well off, such as the people in Bangladesh who are starving from famine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, in that sense now, do you begin to see a sense of duty to help other people? Or no?
I don't know. It's all to do
this is
with
a hypothetical situation, by the way. You're allowed to say whatever you want
again,
in this room.
Again.
What did I say? Oh, in the context of why he was speaking about this, he was basically thinking about the famine that was happening at that time in Bangladesh. And for him, the same way you have a duty to save the child, according to him, you have a duty to help people who are not as well off as you. So rich people should basically help the poor. That's basically what he's arguing.
Okay.
It's called, what's it called? Effective altruism. I don't know if that helps, but...
Okay, cool. My question is, like, what is the reasoning? Like, where's the ration of...
The link of the analogy to that.
Yeah.
I can't lie, Pete. That's why people don't like his thing. Like, it rational. Didn't eat. It didn't eat. I don't really get the link. Actually, no. What he's trying to say is... you don't lose anything. The same way you're going to go in and maybe a shoe, maybe your clothes you can buy again, is like maybe you will lose the money. Like, not lose, but maybe you'll be given away, like giving up the money.
moves, basically, like a great art.
You'll be saving somebody's life, basically. And it's like, you are in a position to do that. You're not, like, losing your life for the sake of theirs. Mm-hmm. You're in a position to save their life and also continue to go about your day. You're going to go back to your job. You're going to probably buy the outfit again and you're going to go get your shoes again.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's trying to say. So right. In the same way that doing, like, saving that child is not going to jeopardize you, so why are you not doing it? Therefore, you have a duty to do it. Is the same way that giving money to people who are struggling and starving right now is not going to jeopardize you, so why not just do it? You have a duty to.
I don't like him. Mostly because I just don't agree. Like,
you didn't either.
Because a duty, you know, it insinuates an imperative.
Yeah.
You must.
That's what, like, that is what he's saying. You must. Because why the hell not? That's what he's saying. I'm not saying I agree with
that's
him.
That's not good enough.
Oh.
That's my point.
There's a missing premise.
Yes.
There is a lack of explanation as to why. You're just saying
You're saying that I must because you I can. Because wow. I can doesn't mean that I must.
That's real philosophical reasoning.
Because, like, you've missed the middle.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
There's
sandwiched only bread.
Wow.
You know?
For me, I liked that. I have to use that again.
Mm-hmm.
Sandwich only bread. Okay, cool. I think, there was one more thing I wanted to say. I don't know what time it is there. Because time is twinkling. What time is it?
3:45. Come on, just say
The last thing I want to say before we round up this episode is, from that standpoint, do you think he's only feeling that way because it's a personal duty to him because he's in that position, specifically in relation to white saviorism?
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it like, are you only saying this because you're a white man and you probably have money and you're probably around a white man with money and it's like, why not save the poor kids in Bangladesh? Why not save the poor black kids in Africa? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, maybe that's the aspect that's the aspects that were not taken into consideration when it comes to people like him, people like Kang, like, because of your identity, that's what formulates your mindset, which is why also your identity is probably what formulated your whole mindset this whole episode.
Because I think what the case should be when it comes to, you know, setting these, you know, setting these opinions that I think we should all take on as a part of our lives, whatever the phrase may be. I think there's a lack of nuance, you know, that exists a lot of those old white men that came off all of these rules, right? Some of them have really good, like a good grip on nuance.
Yeah.
But I think where a lot of my opinions come from is the ability to understand that what I'm saying, it does, like, not all size fits all.
One size doesn't fit all.
And it's similar to what I was talking about when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially like black British politics.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. A lot of us, we like to think with community. We should all vote for this.
Because we're all black.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
However, if that lifestyle that this certain party is catering to does not reflect my lifestyle at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Then
why must I vote for that person? Why is that my duty? Do you know what I mean?
That's the question.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the nuance of my situation doesn't apply to anyone but myself.
Yeah.
Therefore, duty should never be like in the community.
Just given to people as a whole.
Yeah.
It's more personal.
Exactly.
So do you think that, okay, we're rounding up now.
Okay.
So do you think that you have a duty to people, like, you do owe things to people, but that is entirely relative and specific to you?
100%.
That is such a perfect closing.
Mm-hmm.
In that, understand your no at the start, which is, we don't have a duty to other people, which is like, we don't have a collective duty. I think that's the word that was missing that whole time. Stop doing that. We don't have a word that's missing that. That was the word that was missing the whole time, which is, we don't have the same duty. We can't have the same duty.
It's not to everyone.
Yeah. It's not that you don't want that to be the case.
It would be nice.
It would just be nice. Yeah. Hypothetically, theoretically, it will be nice, but it's just not possible, especially with, as we said, intersections. People just grew up differently,
mm-hmm.
and you have different relationships with different people, and it's just not the same. I think the issue with objectivism a lot of the time is that it assumes everyone is equal, not in terms of rights, mm-hmm. that is a conversation for another day, mm-hmm. but in terms of their position in the world, and the situation that they're living in. Wow. Mm-hmm. For me, do you have anything like to close off with to the people?
In all honesty,
yeah,
I think discussions like these with me, a lot of it I'm thinking about where I'm there.
Yeah.
And then
it might change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I don't think my stance on this will change.
Okay, go on.
Because I think I've reached like peak thoughts when it comes to this.
At the age of.
And so anything that changes would be me going back down.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
And again, that's an interesting thought in and of itself.
Yeah, I'm very confident in that.
Yeah.
Because I think the where I've reached is something that I can apply to every question under this category of under this topic.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm happy that that's the place that you're in right now, because you've reached your peak age. This is the oldest that you can be, right? So it's like, I'm glad that you're also peaking in thoughts at the same
time. I can rock with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because for all you know, at the age of what? 22.
I'm going on 22, yeah.
Yeah. At the age of 22, this could possibly change, but you can never know, because this is your peak.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that you peaked at your peak.
Yeah.
Because other people are not peaking at their peak.
Exactly.
And that's a conversation for another day. Anyway.
Keep thinking, guys. Keep thinking.
Oh, I thought you said peak thinking.
Yeah, I'm at peak thinking.
Oh.
I need everybody to keep thinking.
Oh, that's your last. Sorry, yeah. Tell them your minute. Your message.
To their peak of thinking. But yeah, that's literally like my biggest issue with people.
Mm.
People that like to think or like to comment about how much they think, but the things that they're saying, like, it doesn't sound like you thought about it. Have you finished?
Even in the room.
Keep thinking. You're not there yet.
You haven't reached peak thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to be honest, that's really why I'm here. Like, it's not even about the act of thinking, it's about the manner and the way in which people are thinking.
Yeah.
But I need to stop talking. Honestly.
Sorry, guys.
It's enough. For me.
Comment down below for part two. Because I didn't even get to talk up the things like that.
She didn't. I feel like you didn't.
Yeah, nah.
Because the people don't want to restrict you for 45 minutes for me.
Nah, they don't want you to talk.
They don't want you to speak. Anyway, genuinely, if like 5 people comment part 2 were for me, we'll do it, guys. Anyway, if you're not subscribed already, that's awkward.
Smash that subscribe button. 50,000 likes.
I'm gonna close
that. And then tap the ring bell next to it.
Thank you for attending this episode. We will see you in the next one.